Žao mi se padar mahansa parivaja kachaya asadrasata shishmari swami grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jao Mishna Pad Paramahansa Parivaja Kacharya Astadrasata Shishimar is one grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki jai. Premsi Gahosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrindi ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Prabhu Gopinath. Shamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navarupa Mayapur Dham ki jai, Kankana Mayi ki jai, Jamuna Mayi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Bhagavad Gita. Govamanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to Yasam of the Vodis, all glories to Yasam of the Vodis, all glories to Yasam of the Vodis, all glories to Shiguru Shigaranga. Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasagadari Shimari Bhaktivedanta Swami Tsunami. Namaste, Saradari Devi Gauravani, Pichari, Nirvisi, Sasam Stani. Thank you. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tuto Jayam Urirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very mean of conquest, let us first offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the Supremosium in Being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the Author. Nastapra Ishu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavidinaishtiki. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within one's heart become practically destroyed to nil. And loving devotional service, which is offered to the Supreme Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text Number 21. Yamahurasya stiti janma samyamam. Tribir vihinam yam anantam rishaya. Naveda siddhartam iva kvachit stitam. Bhumandalam murda sahasra dameshu. Yamahur yasasiti janma samyamam. Tribir vihinam yam anantam rishaya. Naveda siddhartam iva kvachit stitam. Bhumandalam murda sahasra dameshu. Yamahur asya stiti janma samyamam. Tribir vihinam yam anantam rishaya. Naveda siddhartam iva kvachit stitam. Bhumandalam murda sahasra dhamashu. Yamahur asya stiti janma samyamam. Tribir vihinam yam anantam rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damashu. Yamahur Asya Siti Janma Samyamam. Tribir Vinam Yam Anantam Rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damasu. Yamahur Asya Stiti Janmasyam Mamam. Tribir Vihinam Yam Anantam Rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stita. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damasu. Yamahur Asya Stiti Janma Samyamam. Tribir Vihinam Yam Anantam Rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damasu. Vaishnavis. Yamahur Asya Stiti Janma Samyamam. Tribir Vihinam Yam Anantam Rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damasu. Yamahur Asya Stiti Janma Samyamam. Tribir Vinam Yam Anantam Rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damasu. Yamahur Asya Stiti Janma Samyamam. Tribir Vihinam Yam Anantam Rishaya. Naveda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Stitam. Bhumandalam Murda Sahasra Damasu. Yam Hum Au They said Asya of the material world. Stiti, the maintenance. Janma, creation. Samyamam, annihilation. Tribi, these three. Vihinam, without. Yam, which. Anantam, unlimited. Rishaya, all the great sages. Na, not. Veda, feels. Siddha Artam, a mustard seed. Iva, like. Kvachit, where. Stitam, situated. Bhumandalam, the universe. Murda Sahasra Damasu, on the hundreds and thousands of oods of the Lord. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction, although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord, in his incarnation as Sisha, holds all the universes on his oods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Please repeat after me. Lord Shiva continued. All the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord in his incarnation as Shesha holds all the universes on his hoods. Each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God is known as Shesha or Ananta, as unlimited strength, unlimited strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. As described in this verse, Ananta's strength is so great that the innumerable universes rest on his hoods. He has the bodily feature of a snake with thousands of hoods, and since his strength is unlimited, all the universes resting on his hoods feel no heavier than mustard seeds. We can just imagine how insignificant a mustard seed is on the hood of a serpent. In this connection, the reader is referred to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 5, verses 117 to 125. There it is stated that Lord Vishnu's incarnation as the serpentine Ananta Shishanaga support all the universes on his hoods. By our calculation, a universe may be very, very heavy, but because the Lord is Ananta, unlimited, he feels the weight to be no heavier than a mustard seed. Om Agyana Timaranda Siyaganandjana Sarakaya Chakshuran Meditam Gyana Tejmai Shri Guru Venama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer him my respectful obeisances. Well, today is an important day, because today is the end of the world. And I wanted to know if you knew exactly at what time of the day the end of the world is going to happen, because then I can adjust my schedule. I can prioritize different things, like prasadam, for instance. Last meal. Okay. Well, anyway, it's not bad news, actually. It's the end of the Maya calendar, so this is the beginning of the Krishna calendar. Okay. So here, I couldn't figure out where Ananta Shesha was, because he's holding all the universes on his head, on his hoods. So that means he's not at the bottom of one universe, because he can only hold one universe, but he has to be at the bottom of the material world somewhere. And he's holding all the universes on his hoods. But it says that for him, it was like a mustard seed. Each universe like a mustard seed. So that is the idea behind Krishna, is that he has displayed an unlimited amount of energy that we see all around us. But for him, it's nothing. Like, there's nothing that really strains him or stresses him, or he's always completely unaffected by anything. So that's the position of the Lord, and that's why we accept him as our Lord, because he can sustain any unbearable amount of weight, and he can not be affected by anything material, and therefore is the proper shelter for our insignificant selves. So this is why Krishna is the highest authority by virtue of being Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan means the person has unlimited strength, unlimited knowledge, unlimited power, unlimited... So who else can claim this, right? Like, somebody may have maybe a great authority in science, but is he Bhagavan? Maybe he has knowledge, but does he have beauty and strength and all the other ones? Not really. He has one, maybe a little bit of one. And he thinks he's a great authority. But unless we find a person who has all this quality in full, we cannot accept that person as a supreme authority. So Prabhupada established Krishna is the supreme authority by the definition of the word Bhagavan. Like one time Prabhupada was in Russia and he was talking to Dr. Kotovsky. He was a communist. And Prabhupada said, what is the difference between you and me? You accept the authority of Lenin. I accept the authority of Krishna. Well, there's no difference between me and you. You accept an authority of somebody, and I accept an authority of another person. So it's like that for everyone. And wherever you meet, he accepts some authority. So, but the idea is, which authority is the highest? So we accept Krishna's authority as the highest, by virtue of him possessing unlimited opulence, like that. So, therefore we accept the Bhagavatam as supreme authority and knowledge, like that. Kind of logical, you know, like, it's not like a dogmatic statement, it's a logical statement. No, when we try to understand, so you say Bhagavan is the highest authority, but who is Bhagavan? Where is Bhagavan? Right? And we may look on the earth planet to find the highest authority, and we may find somebody. But what about all the other planets? Well, you have to go there too, right? Because there might be some higher qualified person in the six opulence over there too. So once you examine everybody in the universe, maybe you'll find the highest authority in the full opulence, but maybe there's something beyond the universe. So for us, it's very hard to find that person. There's one person superior to all of us. Who is he? So the sages, the yogis, and they looked like, for example, Bhrigu Muni. He was appointed to look, right? So he found Vishnu to be the supreme authority, like that. So anyway, that's one thing. So, the idea is also that what is the benefit of accepting Krishna as a supreme authority, and what do we want to accomplish by engaging in devotional service? So, Prabhupada goes into an elaborate explanation that compared to the other religion who wants to worship God for material benefits and to become free from material bondage, we do not want this. We want something higher. So Prabhupada explained, you should not approach Krishna for hoping to get relief from your material misery. Well, that's a big statement, you know, because almost all of us, we want to approach Krishna for relief, right? But Prabhupada said, no. Because we don't want to do business with Krishna. So we want to love Krishna, basically. So we don't want to be a business. I do this for you, and you do this for me. If you don't do this for me, I'm not going to serve you anymore. So we don't want to be like that. Prabhupada taught us that there's something higher than that, than this consciousness of most religionists. He said that, no, we want to love Krishna. We want love of God. So, love of God is achieved, and also liberation from the material world become achieved by becoming intimate with Krishna. So we want some intimacy with Krishna. We just don't want somebody who's up there in a cloud somewhere with a big beard and dishing out the goods for us. Now it's Christmas time, so there's gifts, people buy gifts. So we don't approach Krishna to get a gift, to get gifts from him. We want, ultimately Prabhupada teaches us, you should approach Krishna for him, for his benefit, not our benefit, for making him happy, not us, ourselves happy. So That's the perfection of yoga. It's not the beginning stage of yoga. So we're talking about something that we may not have, but it's okay. We can talk about something we don't have, theoretically. So one day we can have it, you know. If we didn't know anything about it, then we wouldn't be able to fix our mind on some higher goal. So the idea is we don't have to panic here. Everybody relax a little bit. We're talking about pure devotional service, which is rarely achieved, right? So when I achieve it, I'll come and talk to you about it. But right now we can maybe theoretically talk about it because it's still very curious and interesting. So talking about that love of God, Prabhupada explains that the perfection of yoga is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in a verse called Samadhi. The Samadhi verse in the sixth chapter. Explain there that. I won't read the whole verse, but I'll read part of the verse. So, established thus in Samadhi, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This is indeed actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So, devotional service, or samadhi, the perfection of devotional service, give you the highest pleasure, which nothing else goes beyond, and it relieves you of the greatest miseries. Two things. Give you the highest pleasure, or it relieves you of the greatest miseries. So, that's a very powerful situation. So, Prabhupada said that in the material world, people want, they have material desires, but, and they pursue those desires. Yesterday I was in Maastricht, and where we were, we're right above the parking lot, and there's an escalator going down, and then before that there's a platform. But the platform, it's like they have cracks. There's cracks in the platform, and I saw about three or four people fall off, like just flat on their face because they trip in the cracks. There was this guy. He had so many baggage of gifts. You know, he had like five bag of gifts on each end, and he fell off flat, and he hurt his leg a little bit. Everybody was like crowding around him, you know, looking at the poor guy, and the guy was all embarrassed, you know. You know, he took about 5 minutes to get up. I thought he was like passing out or something. And then finally he got up, and people put all the bags back in his hand, you know, and said, oh my God, he's going to fall off again, you know. And all the guys just like, okay, let's go, you know. He goes down the escalator, you know, and I was thinking, poor guy, you know, he bought all these gifts, because he's so attached to get some love from somebody, you know? Like, he worked so hard, you know, big tapasya, you know, to get some money, and he bought all these gifts because he wants to be loved by someone, I guess relatives, right? That's the whole thing about Christmas. That's why there's so much money involved during Christmas time, because people, they so much want the love of their relatives and friends that they're ready to spend all their money and go on the credit card also, you know, just to get that little bit of love when you give a gift to somebody. So it's okay, you know, to get the love of somebody in the material world, but it's not, I mean, like the next day it's over, right? And the next day all bummed out, you know, all the money spent, you know, and they got a headache, you know, from drinking. And then they go back to work on, you know, after a holiday. You can see after a holiday everybody's depressed, you know, because it's not the way to achieve happiness. It's not the... Prabhupada explained, okay, some materialistic person, his big desire is to get $1 million. Okay, so he gets $1 million. Then after attaining $1 million, he's not happy with $1 million. He wants $2 million. And when he gets $2 million, he wants $5 million. And when he's got 5 million, he wants 10 million. It just goes on. It doesn't stop. Material desire, it doesn't mean you satisfy your desire. No, you're done, you know. You're okay for the rest of eternity, you know. You satisfy one desire, and then you get so many more coming up. Even though sometimes you think, I have no desire. Oh, I have a little bit of desire, not much, you know. And then you travel and you see other things, and then all these other desires come out, you know. Oh my God, it's so much more fun here, you know. It's like better homes and better food and better people. I want to move here, you know. And then all you thought you had no desire before because you were not aware of what's out there. And then when you're exposed to what's out there, oh yeah, wow, sure, why not, you know. So, but the idea is that in devotional life, Prabhupada explained that no amount of material satisfaction can bring you satisfaction because it's not our position to enjoy the material world. We're servant of Krishna. We're lovers of Krishna, and unless and until we get that love of Godhead, we'll never be satisfied with anything, although we think we are. So, therefore, this pursuit of material desire is the wrong path. That's the conclusion. It's the wrong path. People don't know that, but some people do. The transcendentalists, they do. So some transcendentalists, they want to achieve liberation from all these things, you know? Jaya Radha Gopinath. They want to attain liberation from material desire, and they engage in yoga or jnana or whatever. And then they think that, well, if I hand up all this desire and I merge into Brahman, whatever, I'll be happy. No, they're not happy there either, you know. It's just because you need relationship, because the soul is bound eternally in a relationship with Krishna. If you don't have that, when you're alone in a room, how long can you stay there, right? Like this, we have a beautiful castle here, right? Beautiful, we like to be here. We go up the ladder, the stairs there, and we think like we think we have the castle, you know. Sometimes we think we're enjoying the castle. It's Krishna's castle, right? But we feel uplifted, you know, by sitting in a nice chair and then having so much room to walk around, you know, on beautiful marble floor. But just think about it. Let's say you take all the devotees out of the castle, you take Krishna out of the castle, and just like there's no more Krishna, no more deities, no more devotees, and you're sitting alone in the castle. How long are you going to stay in the castle? Maybe a couple of days, and then he's totally bored, you know. It's just, I know it's a nice castle, but I got to get out of here, you know. And then you're just going to go. You're going to go to Durbri and walk on the street and go to the mall somewhere, you know, so you can see people, right? So we want relationship. We cannot avoid it. No, liberation is not going to work either because you're alone and you will fall down. So we want that love of Godhead, which will provide all that, you know. God, love of Godhead provides an intimate relationship with a lover, which satisfies us. Because even in the material world, the perverted reflection of love, you can see somebody, or two people are in love for the first time, not 5 years down the road, because 5 years down the road, they're not going to be in love anymore. But in the beginning, they like each other, and then they light in each other's presence. Right, and then they're satisfied. They don't care about anybody else. Who cares? You know, we got each other. You know, and then they go to places and they're happy because they have achieved love and their mind is now peaceful in that dealing. But it's temporary in the material world. It's an imperfect example. It's because we want the love because it's a reflection of the love of God that we have originally. So when we have love of God, intimacy with Krishna, we automatically are liberated from the material world, and we're automatically peaceful and satisfied, which are the things people want in this material world. So they're looking in the wrong way, that's all. So the spiritual master says, well, you look over here instead. Okay, there's no water in the desert, and then don't go there. Just go where there's water. So the Vedas, they trying to shake us up and make us understand that there is happiness in another direction, like that. Okay. So we may ask each other, why did we join Krishna consciousness? And you'll see that the reason why we join Krishna consciousness is because we read Krishna book. Because in the Krishna book, it tells you where you're going. You know, like somebody reads Krishna book and he says, you know, the description of Dwarka, you know. Like every paragraph is like full of wonderful description. You come in there and it's, you know, like the gates are made of solid gold. Okay. Then you go in and then there's so many different beautiful palaces. All right. And then you go further and there's beautiful gardens. And they describe the gardens, you know. Oh, there's like lilies and lotus, different colors, red, blue, white, orange. And then there's birds singing, you know. And then they're flying all over the place. And then there's smoke coming out of the palace. It's the incense, you know. And they don't require any lamps in the palace. It's just jewels on the wall. Oh, my God, I want to go there. Why stay here? I'm packing up my baggage. I'm going now, you know. So the description of the destination of love of God is not void. It's full of satisfaction and sense gratification almost. Sometimes we think, I want to go there because there's so much sense gratification. You know, I can go on the beach in Dwarka, I can like hang out in the sunshine. Then after that, I can go walk down the street and buy stuff, and Krishna will be there, no problem, you know. Sometimes we have an image that it almost looks like a place of sense gratification, but not exactly like that, but still it attracts neophyte people who wants higher standard of sense enjoyment. It looks like that, even the love of the gopi with Krishna looks like that. Although we are informed that it is not like that. It is of a higher caliber of love, pure love, with no traces of lust and no self-motive. Still, in that atmosphere of selfless love, there's so much opulence. Where you can enjoy your life with the Supreme Personality of God. So, but it's on the basis of hearing the description of the spiritual world that we made up our mind. We decided to set our determination on going there. Whereas the other religion, they don't have this description. You ask them, "Oh, what's in the spiritual world?" "Oh, well, you go there and you play harp on the clouds forever." Or, who is God? Well, he's very old, and he's got a big beard, and he's like up there, and he watches over you, and if you don't obey what he says, he throws you down in hell where you burn in a lake of fire forever without any chance of coming out. So, wow, okay. Well, I guess I'll give you some money, because I don't want to go there. So it's cheating religion, you know, based on psychological manipulation and fear and all these things. And then they fight amongst one another because they think they have the best. You're safe and I'm not. I'm safe, you're not safe. You better belong to the Jesus Christ Club, otherwise you're out of it, you know, forever, you know. And then they get down on you and they try to scare you, all these things, you know. But a devotee thinks, oh, poor people, you know, they're really misled. They don't understand what's going on. So we're very fortunate to have this transcendental knowledge that we can try to understand something, you know. We may not understand pure love of God yet, but we can understand something and we can go on the right path. So let's say we do not have love of God. We don't have that intimacy with Krishna. What should we do? Well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you don't have your full intelligence merge in me, then you can practice bhakti yoga. You know, you can eat prasadam, go to Mangalarti, chant your rounds. Then, Bhagavad Gita in the evening. If you have none of that, well, take up your japa beads and chant. Because sometimes you're in a situation where these things are not there. So what do you do? Well, there's 4 hours of morning program. Well, I can chant Hare Krishna for 4 hours. And replace the whole morning program. But it's easier when you have a morning program. And so we practice that. You know, we try to do that. And then if we have any difficulty, then the devotees are there to help us. We don't, it's something we can't figure out. Well, we have friends and they can help us understanding Krishna consciousness. And we have to endeavor the best we can. And hopefully Krishna will bestow his mercy on us. So, kind of running out of things. One thing yesterday, we don't have to be perfect to engage in devotional service. We can still do a lot of nice things for Krishna, even though we're not on the highest level of Krishna consciousness. And I'll give you an example of that. Yesterday we went to Maastricht, and me, Jadurani, and Dr. Rick. So, Jadurani told me that she met a guy. A guy came to her. And the guy said, okay, you're a spiritual person. You follow some religion. I'm looking for people like you because I can defeat them. You know, I can defeat you. Get ready. I said, wow. And then, after 5 minutes, I was looking. The guy bought a book. What happened? I don't know. He decided to talk to him and he bought a book from me. So much for that. So, and me too, there was a person. Actually, yesterday, I was pretty spaced out. I couldn't talk to anybody, so I just gave out free books because they're paid for, the small books. And I was thinking, well, I got 3 hours to go to do this. And there was lots of people there with their packages, you know, and we had little bags of peanuts and raisins. So I gave out peanuts and raisins, you know, to people. He's a big guy, tall guy, family man with all his family members. This is a bag of peanuts and raisins, you know. And he's like, oh, whoa, you know. He was like shocked. But the little bag of peanuts and raisins has a powerful effect on people's consciousness, you know. They don't expect that. They don't expect somebody's going to give them a bag of peanuts and raisins, you know. So they all are walking down, you know, they're all like big people with lots of money, you know, real important people, you know. And then you get a bag of peanuts and a raisin, you know. Wow. And they look at it, and they turn around and have a big smile on their face, you know. It's kind of mystical, you know. I couldn't figure that one out. I didn't want to distribute the peanuts and raisins at the beginning. You know? I don't want to distribute peanuts and raisins. Forget it. But then Jadurani came to me and she said, you know what? The peanuts and raisins, people love the peanuts and raisins. They get the ecstasy when they get one, you know? I said, really? Maybe I should try that too, you know? I said, distribute that. She was right. People became an ecstasy by peanuts and raisins. Anyway, at the end, when we're ready to leave, this girl comes. This young girl, maybe 21, 22 years old, and she stops right in front of me and she says, why are you doing this? And we're like, yeah, right, why am I doing this? I had to think for a moment. I said, I don't want to do this. Actually, I want to get out of here. I said, well, I do this because I want people to become happy by having higher knowledge. Really? Okay. She kind of like was not totally satisfied with that. And then she said, so what is the goal of what you're doing, you know? Well, you know, we want to achieve a higher pleasure in life. Because you see, people are not happy, you know. They look happy, you know. they got all these bags and gifts, but they're not really happy, you know. So because they don't have enough knowledge, so by giving them a higher knowledge, they'll become more happy. And they're like, maybe a little, but she was like a little bit, okay, all right. And then she said other things. She wanted to know other things, and she said, so she said, so you think that we should not have any money and not spend any money? Is something bad with money? She had a whole. She was a thoughtful girl, and she was like getting there. They could see she was thinking a lot at the end, you know. So I said, no. You can be a multi-billionaire and be a pure devotee, and you can be a total poor man and be a jerk. And she was like, oh, really? Okay. And then she said, but I said, but for me, you know, if I'm a religious person, I cannot use my religion to get money because it's cheating, you know. Maybe you can have all the money you want, but me, I can have all the money I want, but I should not worship God for that. And then she was like looking at me a little bizarre, you know. And she went on and on, different things. And we came around reincarnation and karma and life after that. And then she said, I said, okay, yeah, the wrong thing with money is that you can buy drugs, you can do prostitution, you can do so many bad things, you can exploit other people. And then she said, well, I'm an atheist and I don't do any of these things. So I said, oh, you're a very balanced person then. Yeah, I'm very balanced. I don't have that all these bad habits you're talking about, but I don't worship God. I'm okay. So, well, that's very nice then. I'm very happy you are balanced like that. And you can be more thoughtful. So it went on and on. She was maintaining the atheistic point of view. And I'm an atheist. So I said, okay, you're too okay. I said, okay, well, okay, I accept your atheistic point of view. So what you believe... There's no God, and there's no soul, and what you are is only a combination of atom and molecules that happen by chance in due course of time. Yes. So after that, there's nothing after that. This is what it is. This is what. And you are freaked out about that. I was talking about me. You're freaked out about that, and that's why you're worshiping God, to make you feel secure about yourself. So I said, okay, that's a good point. And I said... So, now you're saying you're a bunch of atoms and molecules, and I'm a bunch of atoms and molecules, and we're just a bunch, we're a very illusory form, because very soon you and I are going to be disappeared forever, right? I said, well, why do you waste your time talking to me? Why you come here and talk to me? If you're just a pile of dirt, and I'm a pile of dirt also, what's the point in discussing anything? It's not logical. You know, why you take all this trouble and time? And why is the atheistic government taking so much trouble and time to protect people from murders, thieves, you know, scams? They're all a pile of dirts everywhere. Why bother do all this? It doesn't follow the philosophy, their behavior doesn't follow their philosophy. It doesn't tally with what they believe, really. So you should try to get a clue that there's something more and what meets the eyes. And then she started to think a little more, and I could see in her eyes. You know? He said, you, for example, you're a beautiful girl, right? But if you were dead, I would not be interested in talking to you. Your beauty would be gone out of your body. And he's like, her eyes opened up, you know. He said, the beauty that you have is coming from the spiritual energy inside your body. The spiritual force, spiritual energy gives a glow to your body. And when that energy goes out of the body, then the glow is gone. The glow is not a material phenomenon. And I just really started to think hard now. Because I could tell that girl was not an atheist. Maybe she was an agnostic, but not an atheist. She didn't have any hate for me. You know, I could feel it didn't have any hate for me. But she wanted to put her thoughts in front of somebody who would dissipate her doubts. You know, that's what they do sometimes. They challenge, you know. Even devotees do that. Oh, Prabhu, you say that, but what about that? You know? And then you have to think, and you have to preach. Because you cannot say, "Well, yeah, right about that. Wow, I don't know." No, you have to answer the challenge. You have to, okay, well, yeah, what about that? Well, what about that? What is this? And the scripture would say this, and this, you know? So you have to see it this way. So she was challenging me, and I could see she wanted her doubts clarified. So I went through the whole process, and at the end I gave her a book, and she took the book, you know? She was like, "Here's the book," you know? And she had the book in her hand, and it was like going like this, you know? She was in between, you know, because her false ego was like taking a little bit of a crush. And then, but as soon as she became, she was just starting to become attracted to the book, you know? I said, "Wow," you know, like, I could see it. She wanted to see what was inside the book, you know? So, but she wouldn't take the big books I gave her. I said, "Well, anyway, you know, you can take the small book, because inside the small book there's a website." "Oh yeah, website, okay." Like, website was like the excuse to take the book, you know. So, and then her boyfriend came. I don't know if it was her boyfriend, you know, a guy came who knew her. And I said, "Okay, now, what's your name, you know?" I said, "My name is, I don't remember, Lida or something like that." And his name was Cruz, like Tom Cruise or something. And so I gave her a hug. And he was like, and then I gave him a hug. And then now she was smiling, you know. And I was like, "Goodbye, Merry Christmas, you know." And Merry Christmas. So even though we may not be a pure devotee, still we can do a lot of good to other people. Simply by carrying the order of the guru, the spiritual master, and we become an instrument, you know. So even though we're not really expert or together, so it's kind of nice, because we can taste that higher pleasure is available for everyone of us, and it doesn't require a prearranged qualification for it. It's not like we cannot be a preacher, or we cannot be a temple president, or because we're not completely qualified for it. After all, Krishna consciousness was spread by people who were not qualified. 26 Second Avenue people were not qualified, but they spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. How can that be possible? So anyway. The idea is we can pick up the mercy available in different forms, different ways. Prabhupada said we can preach to people by our words, like you can go talk to people. And you can also preach with your money, give money to the preaching movement. You can preach by your bodily labor, you know. What else? Any other ways you can preach? Your intelligence, your body, your wealth, whatever, you know. So, time, your time, give you time, like that. So, it's very hard not to preach when you're a devotee, because as soon as you walk around with a devotee, you're preaching. Even though you don't talk to anybody. Because people say, "Oh, this is Hare Krishna," you know, and they say, "Hare Krishna," you know. So, and even if you don't wear a dhoti, and then you're going to work, people still know you're Hare Krishna, because you don't eat meat. And so it's very hard not to be a preacher and belong to ISKCON, you know. You can automatically, you are taking a stand. So it's okay. So I'll give you some time if you want to make comments and questions. I can read the verse again. Lord Shiva continued, "All the great sages accept the Lord as a source of creation, maintenance, and destruction, although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord is in his incarnation as Sesha, holds all the universes on his hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord?" Gopal Hari Prabhu. Well, in Krishna consciousness, there's different stage of love, and we're not required to give up all the bags of gifts right away and just serve Krishna purely. Like, we can dovetail our desire for the Lord's satisfaction, so that's why there is... because this man's love is misplaced because he's not constitutionally made to be the enjoyer of people's love. Like, we're servants, so we know that he's not properly situated and his endeavor will bring frustration and unhappiness. We know that. Whereas ourselves, we know when we develop pure love of God and we have a swarup developed, like we are cowboy or we're gopi, when we're there like that, then it's only Krishna in us and nothing else. No material desire. But if we're not in our swarup, then we'll have a strong attachment. So what do? I said, oh, does a devotee differ from a person who wants love from others and goes in a material way? And we also may want love from others because we don't have full love of God. We may want love also. So what is the difference? So the difference is that we want this love with under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. He will teach us how to accomplish our life's desires, whatever these desires are. And Krishna wants us to sometime live our life, you know. It's not like Krishna is like this hard-hearted and practical person who says, okay, listen, if you don't have pure love of God, then the hell with you, you know. I don't care for anything you do. I don't want to see you anymore. You don't love me. Boo. You know, Krishna is not like that. If he sees we're turning towards him, even to the slightest degree, that's a sign of love, beginning of love, and then he will take us. Even though we have all these other desires, you know, like, even we're powerfully attached to them, and he will guide us. Sometimes he will satisfy this desire, but in a way that we will be elevated more and more, not in a way that we will be degraded more and more. And this man will be, like, he's probably got bottles of wine in there, you know, and other things, and he has a motive behind the gifts he gives to his wife, you know. We know what it is, so. But it's a different situation where we will not be frustrated with our situation, but we will have a chance to elevate our situations and become increasingly happier and happier. So until we reach the goal of pure love of God. So we see in the Bhagavatam, there's so many leniency towards what people want, like, you know, the stories of people who have material desire, like Kardama Muni, and then the story of Dhruva Maharaj, the stories of people who are to show us, well, you are like that, like them, well, that's okay, you can do like this, that's what they did, you know. So it's not rejected. So in other words, the difference between him, he doesn't have any chance to get purified, where we have a chance to be purified, although we may be like him. Well, we will have a chance to become purified. Well, he has no chance. So, therefore, it doesn't matter where we are situated, even if we're the lowest of the low with all piles of material desires, it's okay, it's not a big deal. You start from the bottom and then you go up. And then if you elevated 6 inches, then you can preach to the people who are elevated only 1 inch, you know. you know a little more than just the way we are auspiciously situated kind of thing. Well, it's over because we don't have that satisfaction of love of God. So it's over because our continuous state of consciousness is that we're dissatisfied because we don't have that advancement in Krishna consciousness. But somebody who is advanced in Krishna consciousness is always satisfied, even though there is gift or no gifts, or there is miseries or no miseries. For him, it doesn't matter because he has awakened that love for God and he relishes in that love for God. So if we find out that one day we're happy in Krishna consciousness and the next day we're not, it's because it's an indication of our consciousness is not yet developed enough. So we like in the material consciousness. You know? So because we want to make spiritual effort. It's not because we're in material consciousness that we cannot make spiritual efforts. So sometimes we're making spiritual efforts. Okay, today, Janmashtami, I'll chant 64 rounds. So we make a spiritual effort, you know. But the next day, we may not want to do that same spiritual effort again because we may not be at that level. But it's good to make spiritual efforts. It's not like, oh, I'm not advanced, so I won't make any efforts. I don't want to be artificial, Prabhu. It's at the gradual stage of development, you know. No, Krishna, I appreciate any efforts we're making. So I was noticing Madhugopal. Madhugopal, we went to... Get ready, Madhugopal. We went to Amsterdam for that 8-hour kirtan. I saw Madhugopal chanting on the stage for 7.5 hours. The last hour was spent in the back lounge eating prasadam. I thought, wow, Madhugopal is really determined to make spiritual efforts, you know. Me, I was sitting in the back looking at everybody, you know, like spacing out. When Madhugopal was on the stage all day long chanting without stopping, one person would chant an hour and then go take a drink, you know, and Madhugopal would be there. The next person, the next person, the next person. He was always there. So that's... Madhugopal may not have pure love of God. Maybe he does, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, but at least he's making spiritual efforts, you know. So... In the material world, you mean? Yeah. Yeah. They can happily maintain their life by giving each other's gift, whatever standard of happiness they set for each other. But if you give a gift to a devotee, then that's even more happiness, you know? It's more. When you give a gift to a devotee, it makes it more happy. Brings you more happiness. Okay. Any questions? You want to stop here? Okay. Why short? You can make it long.
You know what I'm gonna say? You have to accept that there is a design, there is a sambandha, there is a way how things are. They have to accept that Krishna has a special place. And he has this.
Do you give class sometime?
Anyway,
you should give class sometime, you know? Yeah, no, that's the right idea. And, Madhu Gopal?
I cannot believe now. And then when I left was when Sebastian told me somebody was there and he was like the next singer. That's when I kind of saw, I felt, well, he told me to leave the stage. But that's actually, I just had an attachment to the melodies. I felt I shouldn't.
That's even more advanced. Can't get him off the hook, eh? Okay, I guess we can stop here then. Okay, all glory to Prabhupada.